what I named the topic of tonight's shiur. So we called it Pidyon Hekdesh Bezman Hazeh, the redeeming of Hekdesh, redeeming of Hekdesh property in today's world. So I was afraid that people are going to think, oh, come on, this is by some Lomdish or Shaila, totally, completely irrelevant halacha maisa today. So then when we worded the English title, so I tried to word it in such a way that people would realize that, hey, wait a second, there's something real going on here. I forgot exactly what the nuance was, but something like a real scenario, a real Shaila, because strangely enough, this was, I like to report, this was the first time I've ever received the Shaila of Pidyon Hekdesh, a real live Shaila of Pidyon Hekdesh. And we haven't yet implemented it yet. But I want to try to share with you, first of all, a little bit of the background of the way the Shaila came about, and then potentially how this plays out, halacha l'maisa, is ma'azeh. So the Shaila was presented to me about 2 weeks ago by somebody who was cleaning up their parents' home, and they had found some bag of items of jewelry that had kind of been given to their mother by a distant aunt, a great aunt of somebody, an older relative who had long passed away. And with this bag of jewelry, there was a note. The note read, I'll paraphrase the prospect the note said, that I've always, something along the lines, I've always been so inspired by all the miracles that Shabbat has performed for Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, culminating in the miracles of 1967, the Kosel, and looking forward to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The person, the note was written really in English terms, I'm just using it more real English terminology. And we're so much looking forward to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash that I would like to hereby dedicate all of this jewelry to be used for the construction of the holy vessels, the klishores, and the Beis HaMikdash that will be rebuilt in our days. I'm hereby declaring these to be holy and sanctified. They should be used for the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Ad kan divrei the note. So obviously that text of a note is a very serious hekdesh shaila. And such a person was in effect makdish his jewelry to the Beis HaMikdash. Now the halacha is that when something is hekdesh to the Beis HaMikdash, not only is there an issue of dini matnas involved, there's an issue of isra hekdesh that one is not permitted to benefit, one is not permitted to be nanim, one is not permitted to use something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That is a violation of Be'ila, a very, very serious violation of halacha. That there's not a mikdash, but the Mishogeh, we bring a korban, we bring a malchus, we bring an earnest redemption of malchus. Very, very serious consideration of using something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So these items apparently have been subject to that partial hekdesh, with all the potential issues of Be'ila now resulting. Well, the first question is it going to be true? Were these items really hukdash? Normally, in order to be makdish something, one usually is makdish something bepeh, one takes a neder, one says, this is a korban, this is for mitzvah, this is for the bepeh, for the bekanais, different items can be used for different things. Usually, it requires a hekdesh bepeh. There is a machlekes in the poskim about in other areas of halacha that require peh, let's say, for example, luchos nedarim, luchos shvuos. If a person swears to do something, but rather than verbalizing it orally, the person simply writes it, the text of a neder or a shvua. If a person doesn't verbalize in neder, but rather they write in neder, rather shvua, would that be the halach equivalent of speaking it out? That's a machlokes hadoski. But here, when it comes to hekdesh, it's a much more serious problem because the hekdesh, the Gemara says, hekdesh is chal the machshava as well. If a person is simply going with a night, a person just simply concludes in his own mind that he's going to give something as a korban, so that becomes binding. By a regular neder in the shmur, that's not the case, but by a yom hekdesh, that is in fact the din. So therefore, one can argue that this jewelry became hekdesh for a variety of reasons. First of all, it could be that this was a hekdesh prepared, because writing was the lack equivalent of speaking. And even if it's lacking, you still have a hekdesh machshava. Number three, it is very, very possible, and I would say most probable to assume, that this person may have actually verbalized it at some point. The other person would not have the way to write such a note. It's very possible that they may have said the words actually a hekdesh. Some equivalent, you don't have to be mocked from the lashon, kodesh of hekdesh. You make a statement that this is sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Lashon HaHekdesh. So I would be very, very wary to say that these items are not Hekdesh. I'm working with the assumption now this really is Hekdesh. Now, two to be told, the post can discuss in Shulchan Aruch, if a person says Bezman Hazeh, that the Machdesh something, does that really have the connotation of Beis HaMikdash? You know, the word Hekdesh has a specific halachic connotation of Mikdash, but maybe you could argue that in today's Lashon Bnei Adam, so it means more like Tzedakah, like Shuls, Hekdesh, for holy purposes. So that may be true if a person would have just gave used a very, very vague phrase, a person would have left it out saying this is for Hekdesh, so one could have argued, hey, that's just meant it's for the Shuls, for the Tzedakah, the Aniyah, something like that. The other person wrote an entire Megillah telling you that they're inspired by the rebuilding of the Temple of Jerusalem, and they're looking forward to the day when it's going to be rebuilt totally, and used for Klei HaMikdash. It's kind of hard to explain away that the person meant anything else besides that. So I think we have to work with the assumption that these jewelry is very, very real concern of Hekdesh, and therefore it would be it's Kaddosh and love of Deir HaMisav. And we have to figure out what to possibly do about it. So what do we do with these kinds of things? We have to first people to realize that somebody may have made a mistake and be Makdash was not as that. What do you do? So this is really where I see you begin. So we take a look at the first in Amakomos. It's a Gemara in Masechas of the Nezarot, the Fid Gimel. The Gemara tells quotes of Rice, Eimat Bishin. One is actually not allowed to be Makdash was not as that. It's an issue in the Rabbanan to be Makdash things as not as that for this very reason, because you can be Makdash it, and then what do you do with it? So it's just going to lead to the big takoa. As bad as that, we're trying to avoid having kaddish things around. That's why nobody would ever be machdish lehemim as bad as that. The only kind of kedusha that's chal me'elav is kedushas b'chor. And we have to go out of our way to avoid kedush b'chor. That's why the Rishonim explained in the Yemes of B'chores why we specifically do things to avoid having kedush b'chor. We have to sell the mother or sell part of the mother to a non-Jew before the firstborn is being born, in order to avoid issues of Kedushas B'chor. So the last thing we want the term Kedushas is not as that. So therefore, with the Rabbanan, Chazal frowned upon this. Eimat Bishin, Eimat Chirimin, the person is not supposed to declare that something is Chirim. Here, this has nothing to do with putting a guy in the Chirim for being a Baal Aveir. The word Chirim in Halach means different things. This is referring to the Kodesh to the Chirim, the sugars that appear, psukkim that appear at the end of Pashto with Kosai. Where very much says Tamura, the Gemara discusses till the end says Eretz, the Gemara discusses the sugyas of Charamim. There are different kinds of Charam. Sometimes Charamim goes to Ben Kavayis, sometimes Charam goes to Kohanim. The different degrees in Kedushim Charam. Whatever it is, you shouldn't be doing that as Manazet. V'en Marichim as Manazet. A person should not declare that the value of himself should be Kaddish. Let's take an example. A guy says that of ma'arich, my value, somebody else's value. So you're not supposed to use those kinds of mishamas b'zman hazeh. What have you did? You violated the system of Rabban Mehikdish, v'hecha v'arich, v'hema teyokya peres, k'sus v'kev yirach, v'mos v'mat chesu l'kli amadalach. The Gemara said that basically you're supposed to discard these items. You shouldn't leave them around because of takola. So you should get rid of them, you should throw them out. So the peros, you should, let's throw his makdish fruits, leave it out, but it gets rotten and you dispose of it. For other kinds of things, so you throw them to the Amalek and finish. And so the simple meaning of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is that there's no solution. There's nothing you do about it. But if you're makdish something, so it's tough, you gotta just dispose of it immediately. However, come to the Gemara in the second Eirichin and give us an entirely different picture. How gavad the second of comes, how gavad the middle and nichsim pupadisim? The fellow who was macher in his nechasim in Pupadisa. Pupadisa was the city in Bavel, they're talking way after the time of the Churban. Also, the Kamei Rav Yehuda, they came to Rav Yehuda, was the first generation of Aruah. Secondly, he was the Talmud Rav and Shmuel. So you're talking somewhere, approximately, give or take, close to 300, the common era. So you're talking about well after the time of the Churban. They came to Rabbi and asked him what to do. Amalei, he said, "Shkol arba zuzim." He said, "Take four zuzim, the achalayim, and redeem the dvar kedushim. Transfer the kedusha onto the coins. You shall dig a benara and then take those coins and throw them into the river, the lishtrulach, and then it's going to be permissible." So he says, "Really? How does that work?" Amal kasava stam charam lebedikabayis. That this the view of Rabbi Yehuda was to follow the view that when a person is machrim something, so that means that it goes with medical bias. The different sheikhs in the Tanakh and what the word chayim actually means in halacha. But this Gemara is following the view that it really becomes kadosh. And normally you would do the chayim, not a mikdash. If a guy was machrim something, you would take the item and you would, in a sense, sell it and give the proceeds to the basic mikdash, to the medical bias. It doesn't go for kavanos, but it goes for fixing up the base of English. It has certain expenses, repair jobs, have to be done. So that money would go towards Mikdash purposes. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda told to do. The Gemara says, what's that based on? Kiman kishvu diyamar. Hekdesh of a man shchul shem apritim b'chulo. Normally, when we think about pidyon hekdesh, so that you have to take the value. Pidyon hekdesh $1,000 worth of kachim, and you have to be paid $1,000 worth of cash. So here the Gemara says, no, you can even take $1,000 worth of kachim and be paid it simply on a pruta, and that would also be good. And that's exactly what Shmuel was mechadesh. How did Shmuel know that's true? So that's what the Gemara tells us in the fourth paragraph. We see it. That's based on the din of ina no like deshos. When I sell you something, so I have to sell you at an honest price. I can't cheat on a price. If I want to sell you a car, and the approximate going price of the car is $10,000, and I'm going to charge you $20,000, so that's an avera. That's an issue in the Torah to cheat you. And if I, not only is it an issue in the Torah to cheat you, but sometimes when I cheat you in the Yemen, sometimes the hekdesh won't even, sometimes the machine won't even take effect. You'll have a right to either demand the money that I cheated you, or sometimes if I cheated you such a significant amount, you can even declare little methods. You can actually come to Basin and disqualify the entire sales. There's a whole sugya in the fourth track of Mitzia is dedicated to the intricacies of the Parashah Onah. The Parashah Onah is based on a series of psukim and parashas par. Yeah, but there's an Issur Onah, then there are potential ramifications, a consequence of the Din of Mamonos if a person violated the Din of Onah. So the Gemara says in one fell swoop of the Mitzia that the Din of Onah don't apply to kachim. The Torah says chisimku mimkal amisecha. Amisecha means your friend, your pal, your neighbor. You got just a hekdesh. You buy and sell things from hekdesh. So ain't no limitations. That's what the Gemara says, that if a person has an item of hekdesh that's worth $1,000 and you try to just redeem it for a nickel, that's, you're a cheater. You're a gunner. You're being honest hekdesh and cheating hekdesh. But so for some, but the evidence works because ain't no limitations. So we're not advocating what you're doing, but we're just saying that the evidence would be okay. So the Gemara says that was the story here in Pupadisa. The fellow who was Machrit, or Machish in a sense, is the Chosim. So we sent him, just take four Zuzim and throw him to the river. So he was, wait a second, hold the phone. Take four Zuzim and throw him to the river. Was his wife. Aimadim Shmuel Shechilu Bihamar. Shmuel said that the Yemen, if you cheated Hekdesh, that's okay. No one's advocating cheating Hekdesh with Shechilu. How could Shmuel say that? Why didn't Shmuel say you have to make a real cheshbin, a real calculation of how much all your property is worth? And then you have to give that amount to throw into the river. So what right do you have to do this to chachilu the cheap hekdesh? So he wasn't hanimilu bezman shebeis mikdash kana. When does the halacha tell us that you're not allowed to cheat the hekdesh? That was bezman hamikdash. He comes here, but then basically she's going to lose something more because the beis mikdash has a certain budget. So they need $100,000 a year. So you're going to mark to somebody for $10,000 and you're going to give them a quarter. That's going to cheat them. Say they need the money. So that's not right. But as man is there, there is no basic mikdash. They don't have any budget to meet. Everything's going through the garbage anyway. So why should we tell a person to take $10,000 and throw $10,000 to the garbage? So I'll throw a nickel to the garbage. I feel that chila. So yes, that's the case, that there's nothing wrong with chila as man is there. But being paid the hektash with the mirsha of pruta, yachar from the pruta now. He said, why isn't a pruta good enough? Why did Rabbi Yehuda tell him to do four zuzim? Four zuzim is a lot more than one pruta. They weren't pursuing Bilsa. That was just a publicized that they were doing a pidyon, because otherwise people are going to get all confused. They're going to see, they're going to knock for something, and then a second later, it's okay, and no one's going to realize it. I took a penny and threw it to the river. You make me take $100,000 from the river, that's going to be more of a pursuing Bilsa, and that's going to solve that problem. But the Ikar Rao River should really be okay. Not about the Ikar Madin, pidyon should work, and pidyon really only requires a proof. Chazal, why'd you do a little bit more just to boost it up a little bit for PR purposes? But presuming this, in terms of the real ikradin, so one truth would be good enough even the chachilu as bad as that. Because anyway, nobody cares about Hekdesh. No one's cheating anybody. Basically, she doesn't make any money off this anyway as bad as that. So in all the Dalsettos, we have two different Gemaras that talk about what do you do with Dvarim Kedoshim as bad as that. And the first thing is two very different recipes. One Gemara of the Zohar is telling us that's got to be discarded right away, thrown to the garbage, about disaster. The other Gemara is saying, what's the big stress, big deal, just tighten it and call it a day. So which Gemara is, right? Well, what's going on? How can we set two different approaches as to what to do with Ram Kadesh and Ram Azad? So this is Tosfos Kasha, the third Ram Kadesh. Shkol dal zuz v'achar alayim shavim v'narish levachim toimar, v'omar perakamid av the Zohar, etc. Right? So let's keep that on the third line. So it presents the kasha. That one Gemara says that you just pulled it and just waste the nickel and save the item. And the other one says you have to throw it in the garbage. So Tosfos says, well, the answer is as follows. But Tosfos Leimar, the Dafka with the Talkalin come into your Rakfu. When it comes to the Talkalin, so the Talkalin, you have the ability to leave around for it to get spoiled. So Asim Ludeta Kola. Because they'll spoil it after a little while, you know, and nobody's gonna have anyway, and no one's gonna end up ever using it. This Gemara in Erechim that talked about the possibility of being paid there, he's talking about a guy who's Makdish Karka, because Makdish is fields, Makdish is backyard, Makdish is house. So what do you tell him to do? He says it's gonna be a big mikshal. So says Tosfos, we really don't like this pigeon story. This is not a very good option as much as that. We really, really want to discourage people from being makdish things. So we want people to know that you can be foolish and be makdish things. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to throw it into the garbage. You're never going to see it again. So we tell you, one, you don't be makdish or jewelry. And if you do, we're going to throw it into the garbage. When it comes to karka, what are you going to do? Okay, don't be makdish house. And he was makdish house. He violated the Siddur Abadun. So now what? So we have to come up with an Eitza. We don't come up with an Eitza. So it's going to be a big mikshal. So therefore, Chazal said, okay, raise bearer, let's rely on the ikud in the rice of pidyon. And the pidyon doesn't even require the whole shavu, it doesn't even require the whole value. A proof that technically is good enough, maybe throw it towards the root law. So basically, Taisa says there are two different halachas, two different sugyas going on here. The starting point, the baseline of all hekish bezmanas that is, it's a really, really bad idea. It's a prohibition in Rabban, it's a disaster. Don't do it. And if you did it, we're going to make you suffer a heavy financial loss. You have to throw everything into the garbage. But a karka, we don't have an answer for you. So then, nebuch, we're going to let you rely on the ikra din is, namely the ikra din being is. That's what the test says. But other Mishnayim don't say that. Other Mishnayim don't present the Bahalach that Taisa says. So if you take a look at the Ravid, so the Ravid is coming off of the Rambam. So the Ravid writes, I don't know, first we read the line of the Rambam. The Rambam says, "We pay most the balance of little man, belly man, brother of the Abba." The Rambam quotes the Gemara that says that if you have coins or jewelry or metal, whatever it is, so you have to discard them, throw them to the Moshe, throw them to the Yamalach. Or the Rambam says the Ravid kisha ina writes the Ftoisa. Hachem ma'askinan, why do you have to throw things out? Because the guy doesn't want to be paid. About years of Ftoisa, years of that. If you want to be paid, then what's wrong with being paid? So, what do you mean wrong with being paid? But the Gemara said you have to throw it out. So, clearly, the Rav is learning a different answer than Tosfos. Tosfos understood that the Gemara is talking about two different eitzes, and they're two contradictory eitzes. One suggestion is throw it to the garbage, throw it to the Yalei Melech, and the other is to be paid. So, Tosfos said one's talking about karka, one's talking about the doctor. The Rav says, no, everything's talking about the same thing. The Gemara is just saying you have one of two possibilities. It's not one in contrast to the other. It's either one is a valid option. If you choose to take all those medallion and you don't want to bother going down to Parashat Pidyon, that's the learning of Sugya Pidyon Hekdesh, you would rather just take it to the Aramelech and talk to the Aramelech for the day. But if and when you want to avail yourself of Pidyon, there's a day also, blah, blah, blah. What's wrong with being paid? Pidyon is perfectly good. And you don't even need more than a pruta, because the pruta is sufficient. So the Rambam is learning that these are two different, equally valid options. And then the Rambam concludes, well, years left us, and you still suffer pruta, you left Pidyon Melech. You just take a pruta and throw it into the Yom Melech. Now, there's something missing about this right. I understand the Rambam's teretz that either option is available to us, but I don't understand that the Rambam is putting the tapas on in a pruta. The Rambam say, all you need is a pruta. Why does everyone know you need a pruta? We went up to the four zuzim. Didn't the Gemara say something about four zuzim in here? Didn't the Gemara say that even if you play there, you need four zuzim for PR reasons, for suing mills, just to make sure that everybody knows what you're doing? But the mice you need it. If Rabbi Huda said you need four zuzim, who told the rabbi that you just machavek, just ignore the four zuzim? So the Rosh Hashulchan writes that he thinks that the idea of the four zuzim was not really the ikra din. The ikra din is a proof. That's it. Why did Rabbi Huda insist on four zuzim? The Fersumin Milsa, for Cheshuvan says, that makes sense if you lived in a period of time like Rabbi Yehuda lived. Namely, you wouldn't be in the basic image. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't so many generations. I would say it was four or five generations from the Churban. So the basic image was still in people's minds. People were still thinking of being Makdish things. People had a mindset of Karbonis. It was still on the radar screen, Hekdish. So the Amorim were trying to discourage people from doing that, and they didn't want to have a situation where you can have people be makdish things and then just do a very cheap kidyon, and it's so cheap, no one's going to be knowledgeable behind it. So it's going to lead to a mechshel. So as the Rechashulchan would appear to him that the Raven held that that four zuzim was Rabbi Yehuda's like personal thing, that he said, we who live close to this makdish, let's add in a couple extra dollars just to pursue those. But the Igra did, it's not really necessary. And therefore, the Rambam said, we live 1,000 years after the Churban. Nobody in Provence, in southern France, is mistakenly Makdish with the Banazer. The one nutcase, who should with Makdish with the Banazer, followed the Igra, didn't just do a proof then show him, says the Rosh Hashanah bin Asa. That's why neither the Rambam nor the Rambam call anything about those four zoos. Those four zoos got lost in the shuffle, they got thrown to the river for Buddhism. They're not really surfacing anymore for us. So at the end of the day, we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim. What's that solution? We have this jewelry, we have these drug dealers. What are you supposed to do? So Taisa says you're supposed to throw everything into the garbage. You're supposed to throw it in a place where you can find it, dump it into the river, throw it into the Yamalach, into the ocean, and you should never hear from it again, because we don't want to go down the river pigeon. Nebuch, the only time we can dream of pigeon is the kaka, because it lays brayer, if you're not going to put the kaka, it's going to be a big mixture, it's going to end up being negative. And the Raven, and it's very powerful, but I'm also not that as clear as the Raven, but others say, probably others will also, and say, no, it's an artificial distinction. The evidence is that both options are good, both are equally valid options. The cow doesn't want to be paid, they got to get rid of it. Want to be paid, they use it. In theory, there could be another option, and that would be the option of doing a Tarsh the Dorif, because Hektish is no different than any other nether. And a nether, a person can go to a Beis Din and they can find some kind of a reason to be not. It's not a game. It's not a free fall. We do it a little bit of a free fall never shut. That's what we throw in the disclaimer. We say that even though the Tarsh Dorif may not work, Mikra Din, but if it does work, let it work or something. You know, we're not 100% sure, but we do it on Mas, on the Dorif. There are a lot of less serious problems with the Tarsh Dorif when we do the Mas. Is that it was a Machlekes and Rishonim about whether Kalnigra is an ancient practice. Back already, at least in the days of the Gaonim, the recitation of the text of it doesn't appear in the Gemara, but at least goes back to the days of the Gaonim. So there was a big machlokes Rishonim, it's called Nidre Atarsh to Dharma now. So the Gaonim were of the opinion, the old text, Nidre, were of the opinion that it's Atarsh to Dharma. And that's why the old Nusuch, the old Nir of Nidre used to be, the Yom Kippurim Sha'avar, a Yom Kippurim Zeh. That we're not all in the Dharma, more than the Dharma, because everything we may have said by mistake in the course of the past year. So we're doing a Tarsh the Dharma. Where's the Beis Din? So the Beis Din is the Chazan, it's fine by the rabbi, but the Gadlan, so we're standing up and hold the Spitur, but Kalid Ray, that's the Beis Din. And the Beis Din being Mata al Dharam, Yom Kippur Shavuot, Yom Kippur Zeh. And Rabbi Adam said that that's not correct. Rabbi Adam said that that's not a Tarsh the Dharam, there's so many problems, so many deficiencies, not a Tarsh the Dharam. The Tam said we missed the boat, we misunderstood what Chalmidri was all about. Well, Chalmidri was not a Tarsh the Dharma of the Dharma in the past. Rather, it's what the Gemara says in the third part of the Dharma, that a person can make a declaration that all the Dharma that is going to take in the future should not be binding. That's a Modal Ahaba. So the Tam says that people misunderstood what Chalmidri was. It's not a Tarsh the Dharma of the past, it's a Modal for the future. That's why the Tam says the Nusuch is not correct. It should not be the Yom Kippur Shavar. Rather, it should be Yom Kippur Mzeh Ad Yom Kippur Mabal. It's about the future year rather than about the past year. So, Bachlok is the Gaonim Rabbi Adam. Is called Nidre a statement of the past or is a statement for the future? So, there are some who want to make everybody happy and they say both. If you look at the article Machzor, I think they put in brackets one of the Nuschos. There are some who have the Nusach that say Yom Kippurim Shavar Ad Yom Kippur Mzeh Ad Yom Kippur Mabal. So, the problem is it doesn't fit into the Nigin. That there aren't enough spaces in the notes for that extra, so you gotta crutch it a little bit. But again, everybody agrees that theoretically there is a model of Atar Stadar, whether Kondidre or Atar Stadar, we do know for sure is an acceptable version of that model, it's up for discussion. But everyone agrees there's a Dimit Atar of Atar Stadar. So one option would be is to be Mata Nether on that. It's not so simple. You have to come up with a reason why you want to be Mata Nether. It's not a free-for-all. You have to come up with a reason. That's again, there are different dinim that govern at Tarsh the Dharma. So that would potentially be an option. The third option, again, it doesn't appear in the Gemara. That would potentially be a third option as well. So now the question becomes, this case that we're dealing with, we had this bag of jewelry, and the person 20 years ago wrote this note saying, that the Makdish is not be for the building of the Holy Temple and this should be turned into a Klisharis. So what options are available for us? So the third option of Atar Sadarka is not available because the node there is no longer alive. So only the person who took the original nether can go to Atar Sadarka. So that's out of the picture. The other option would be to go down to Tosis's room. Tosis says that we should do anything. Tosis says we should just throw it all to the garbage. So according to Shiza Tosis, we should take all this expensive jewelry and take it in Mamash and throw it into the bottom of the river and sure, never hear from it again. Take the Yellow Melech and dispose of it to the Gamre. That would be the view of Tosis. But when we go down the route to Raivich, she's not as well, then no, then we can go down the route of Pidyon. So Pidyon Nekesh would be a good option for us under these circumstances. How do we pass in Aloha and Mishnah? Let's go to talk a little bit. We're going to find the Rosh Hashulchan, Nuchas Tidak, when we talk to the other person, you the Losh Nekdish, but none is there. So Rosh Hashulchan writes, he thinks deeper than is like the Raven, that you have a chuyuk to throw stuff into the river. If you don't want to be polluted, then you throw it into the river. If you want to be polluted, it's the games that you have to, you should not have to be toyed there. So Rosh Hashulchan recommends, that's what he thinks we should follow. How much money should you use for the Pidyon? You should use a Truta. The Gemara says four Zuzim. So that was a shtickle Torah. He said, but that's a raivid. That the four Zuzim were just added on as a chum of Yahweh in the days of Rabbi Yehuda. But they're not really necessary. He says, they're not really necessary, so we can forego with them bizman as it. So with all the dust settles, that was the conclusion of the Shulchan of the Sundai Chayvin, that he thinks that a person from a Shulchan of the Machdish bizman as it, there's no need to mamash water to go. In this case, you can't do a Torah to Torah. So the next best thing is you can do a pigeon. So good, so we're all ready to roll. We are ready, hereby ready to be played next. How do you go about doing that example? How are you playing the Hekdesh? So, the din is that you can be playing the Hekdesh either on Kesef or on Shava Kesef. You can be playing the Hekdesh either on coins, something that's big Kesef, or you can be playing it on something that's worth Shava Kesef. Again, it only has to be worth a Pruta. There are other areas of Halacha where we do Pidyon, which are similar but slightly different. That's Pidyon Maisa Sheni. We're familiar with that, those have been very strong, but Pidyon Maisa Sheni, even those who buy Israeli products, or sometimes they trade the Maisa Sheni. So you have to transfer the Kedusha of the Maisa Sheni onto a coin. So here the Gemara derives from Sokim that the name of Pidyon for Maisa Sheni and Nekdesh are a little bit different. That for Maisa Sheni, it's not enough just to be played there onto any item. It has to be dafka onto currency, and it has to be something, it's Kesef Shesh Lo Tzur, it's got to be. It's got to be a silver that has a tzura to it. It's got to be something that has a picture to it, that has an image to it. It's got to be a coin. You can't just take a slab of silver. It's got to be a coin of silver in order for it to be an acceptable pidyon. So that's what we do. We do pidyon on Maisa Sheni, as bad as that, all the time. So we do it onto a nickel, a dime, whatever it is. We do a little bit of a pidyon in terms of Maisa Sheni. We do pidyon of Ravai as well. Fourth year fruit is also a lachas of pidyon. The first 3 years are orally kidding altogether. The fourth year is a mitzvah of pidyon rabbi. So normally we bring the rabbi the old days to the Beis Hamikdash. You bring him not to the mitzvah of Yerushalayim and eat the kedusha like Maisa Sheni. We can't do that at all. So then the second option, the Torah tells us, you can do pidyon, which is what we do as well. So we're a little bit, those are so for sure, a little bit more familiar with this idea of pidyon. So this idea of pidyon is pretty much what we're going to do here with the Hekdesh also. So we're going to transfer the Kedusha from the Hekdesh onto these coins. What are we going to do with the coin? Yeah, it doesn't have to be so much, but the proof is worth. What are we going to do with the coin? We have to discard the coin. So how do you do that? So we're familiar with discarding coins with Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni, the thing is that you have to discard the coins every 3 years. Every 3 years is what's called the Shas Abir. So after the three-year cycle, there's a six-year Maisa cycle. So at the end of the three-year cycle, then the end of the sixth year, the sixth year of the next cycle, so you have to do Bir Maisa Sheni. So Bir Maisa Sheni requires of us to get rid of those coins. How do you get rid of the coins? So the Gemara tells us that the Yom Melech, you live near the Yom Melech, the next trip down south, you drop it off the Yom Melech, that's going to destroy it beyond the recognition. What if you don't live in the Yom Melech, live in Bergenfield? So where am I going to take it? So you might use the Losh, you throw it through the river, you know, you try to get rid of it in such a way that it's completely and totally never going to be found by anybody again. So in the last couple of years, there was a more modern way of disposing of coins. So that's to throw it into acid. You throw it into a cup full of acid, and that's gonna destroy the coin legabre. So that's every 3 years, we used to have Wayu in Chem Lab. So every 3 years, by the Shas Abir, who is for Pesach, every third and sixth year. So we bring all the Maisa Sheni coins, anyone who has any Maisa Sheni coins, accumulated over the last couple of years. And we have a all done with the proper safety precautions. Every year, Rabbi Willig is chus to lead us in this mitzvah. He's all head to toe with his protective, laboratory gear, and he tosses the coins into his beaker I think one year they tried some other kind of acid that didn't go over as well. So I think we're back to the hydrochloric acid, and it pretty much destroys the entire coin. So now, this coming time, we may have some extra coins floating around because now we have the coins of Hektish. The question is, should we hold on to these coins of Hektish for the next 2 years? Probably that's such a great idea. So it's probably just a good idea to get rid of them. So we haven't yet done the pigeon. It's on one of these days we're going to do the pigeon on this jewelry. So we'll get around to the pigeon and we'll take those coins, whatever it is, we'll try to figure out a way to an exit to get rid of those coins. Somebody raised a legal question about the destruction of Maaseh Sheni coins. Apparently it's against the laws to destroy currency. So we were told, and the lawyers on the call want to weigh in on this, we were told that the only time there's an issur of destroying currency is only if it's done derech hashchasa, done for as an act of wanton destruction. I'm trying to vent my aggression against the United States government by destroying the currency. But we're doing it for some productive reasons. It's not a chuk, it's a tikkun. We're doing it for some positive outcome, then it's okay. And the marshal that was given was, is that when they take those pennies and they stick in those machines, they turn the thing and it stretches out the penny or something, it makes the penny not usable as a penny anymore. So nobody ever said that's against the law to do, because they are doing it just as a game. I'm not doing it as any way to show disrespect to Abraham Lincoln. So it's over here when I take the quarters through the George Washington into the hydrochloric acid in the wine kemlev. It's not meant as a revolution against the government. It's just meant for religious purposes. So I guess the legal scholars can tell us. But that's still within the rights of the First Amendment, the freedom of religion. And my religion demands of me that I do be a Maaseh Sheni. In this case, it would be a Hektish. So we were told by our legal team that was within our bounds, within our rights, legally to do. So anyway, the bottom line is that we do have this Hektish floating around in our neighborhood. And it's right now sitting with a note attached to it. Nobody should touch it, we should use it. It's Hektish from Shemayim. And now, hopefully, one of these days, we'll get around to actually being put it, and then we'll discard coins appropriately. So, as strange as it is, these shadows really do happen. We try to apply the halakhas that have been kind of out of usage for the most part for the last 2,000 years. But again, once in a while, we have to apply these minimum matters as well. Okay, wish everybody a good night. Thank you.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So the Ravad said that you have the choice to either get rid of it or do a pidyon.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a problem to do Baal Ta'a?